few moments. I've been in a series called God's Mercy. I'm going to conclude this series next Sunday. We've looked at different areas of mercy. The number one attribute of God that's mentioned in the Bible, that God is merciful. The Bible says several times in the book of Psalms, it says love, but we discovered last week that love and mercy are really the same thing. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because what? He is good. His mercy endures forever. Let me ask you, this is personal. Did you experience God's mercy anywhere this week, anytime this week? Amen. Let me tell you, everything that occurs in our life is God's mercy. It is every relationship, your job, your retirement, the next breath you take. Everything is by the mercy of God. Now, before I conclude this series next week, because each and every one of us in here, if you're a Christian, if you've made your peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a ministry. And that is a ministry of mercy. And we saw last week, we're to begin that ministry of mercy by giving mercy to our family members. Probably the hardest place to give mercy to. Some of the hardest ones to show mercy to, right? But now we just saw a few moments ago, only 2% of us really show mercy to anyone else by the simple act of inviting them to church. September the 24th is Back to Church Sunday. I'm going to count on you to pray and ask God who you can invite. Now, I'm not asking you to drag them here because some will say, no, I'm not coming or just not show up. All we have to do is ask. Will you pray and ask God who you can invite to church September the 24th? Will you show mercy, God's mercy? We're going to look at that next week. Today, however, I want us to have a good definition of God's mercy, okay? We define mercy as this. Mercy is undeserved kindness. Mercy is unearned forgiveness. We looked at different areas of mercy so far. But one of the purposes I have in preaching this series on mercy is that you and I can really begin to understand who God really is. Because God has poured out undeserved kindness and unearned forgiveness for each and every one of us. In Titus 3, verse 5, the Bible says this, God saved us not by works done by us, not by anything we've done, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's by God's mercy you and I could sit here this morning and know God on a personal basis through Jesus Christ. God is such a God of mercy that He came to this earth as a human being in the form of Jesus Christ to show us His mercy, to give us His mercy, and to save us. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. That's mercy right there. That's the ultimate expression of mercy. This is the reason Five Forks Baptist Church exists. We're in the long range planning once again. We picked up where we left off at the beginning of the summer. We had a wonderful meeting this past Monday evening. The whole reason that we do church, that we have church, is because of this verse that I just shared to you. Jesus Christ came to save those who were lost. He came to seek them and to save them. That's why we have a vision statement. Will you read this vision statement with me? This is a vision statement of Five Forks Baptist Church. We exist, why? To see God's name become great among all nations. This is our mission statement. This is how we're going to make His name become great in all the nations. Number one, by serving God. Number two, by engaging the community around us. Number three, that we're going to grow together. Each and every one of us, we're going to grow together. We're going to make disciples in Jesus Christ. That's our vision. That is our mission. In God's eyes, we're going to know a little bit more about God today. In God's eyes, there's only two kinds of people. There's only two classes of people. You know this. They're saved people and they're lost people. Every one of us is in those categories, in one of those categories. Now, if you're lost, If you're saved or if you're lost, don't consider either one of those to be a put down, all right? It's not. Matter of fact, they're both compliments. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Both of these phrases, saved and lost, both of those phrases, both of those words imply somebody loves you. Both of those words imply that you have enormous value to God. You're worth seeking. You're worth saving. You're worth finding in God's eyes. Both of those words, lost and saved, are expressions of God's love. So number one, I want to share with you this morning, as we're looking at Mercy Matters today, being lost. Being lost, being outside of Jesus Christ, not having a relationship with God, it really implies value. Now, if I'm spiritually lost, it doesn't mean I'm not valuable. No, once again, you're incredibly valuable to God. So valuable that Jesus Christ came to earth to seek and to save you. Now, invaluable things are misplaced, aren't they? Valuable things are lost. In other words, nobody loses a toothpick, do they? You may misplace a toothpick. You may misplace a paperclip. You may misplace a Kleenex. But I've never lost a Kleenex. Because a Kleenex is not that valuable. So you don't go around seeking and saving a Kleenex, do you? Because it's not valuable enough. Let me give you another example. This is my pen. I like this pen. We've got boxes of these pens in the office. My secretary found these two or three months ago. And I think bought one box, put them in the office, put a couple on my desk. And you know what? I like this pen. So she bought boxes more of them. And you know what that means? It means that they're so cheap, if I lose it, it doesn't matter. I don't even consider a pen like that lost if I lose it. I consider them as my donation to whoever finds it, all right? So while I could have a more expensive pen, and I've had a few people offer me that, this is my pen of choice. It's cheap, so I don't lose these. I just misplace them. Now, this is my wedding ring. Okay. If I lost this, it would be a real loss because it represents around 38 years of commitment to one woman. She gave it to me. I love her. I wouldn't misplace my wedding ring. I would lose it. Okay. You only lose stuff that is extremely valuable, like a loved one when he or she passes. You lose that person. You don't misplace them. Something invaluable you misplace. Something priceless or invaluable, you can't put a price tag on it, you lose that. Get this. Every year, the airlines in America all together, okay, Delta, American, all of them all together, they will permanently lose over 300,000 pieces of luggage. I hope there's nobody in here experienced that on a permanent basis, all right? I'm not talking about they lose it, but they'll find it and they'll bring it to your house or anything. I mean, it's gone forever, all right? Most of those pieces of luggage hold worthless kind of stuff, all right? Dirty clothes, all that kind of thing. But some of them, they'll have stuff that's priceless. In fact, I understand that when a masterpiece of art is lost, the price actually goes up. Now, when we talk about whether you're saved or whether you're lost spiritually, both of them, as I mentioned, they imply enormous value here. Both are incredibly, incredibly valuable. So what I want to do today now, as we look at this mercy of God, is ask a couple of questions, all right, about being lost and about being saved. What do I lose when I'm spiritually lost? Now, before you were a Christian, what had you lost? What was not in your life, okay? Secondly, what does God's mercy do when I'm saved? When I'm sought for and when I'm found? What does God's mercy do? All of those answers are found in the chapter of Luke 15, all right? And in this chapter, you're very familiar with this, Jesus tells three stories. It's called really the stories, the parables of lost things, all right? First of all, there's the story of lost sheep. There's a shepherd who had 100 sheep. He brought them back into the pen that night. One night, he counted them as he did every night. Instead of 100, he had 99. And so he went out and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked until he found that one sheep. And when he did, he brought it home. He called his neighbors and said, "Let's celebrate. I found my sheep." Second story Jesus told. It's about a woman who had 10 valuable coins. She lost one. She tore that house completely apart until she found that coin. And when she did, she as well got her neighbors together and they had a party, okay? Third story. It's called the prodigal son. It's a son. He goes to his dad, the younger son. And he says, "I want my inheritance now." And the father gives it to him. And he goes off and he spends all that money right away in parties and all this kind of thing, okay? He winds up in a pig pen feeding pigs. And the Bible says he came to his senses. He came back home and he asked his father for forgiveness. The father embraced him, put good clothes on him, threw a party for him because his son who was lost now has been found. All right? So there's a couple of common denominators here. One is, of course, what was lost has been found. But the second is, each story ended with a party. Each story ended with a celebration. The Lord Jesus said, when someone who's lost has been found, there's a celebration in heaven. Amen. So, number two, what does God's mercy have to do with being lost or saved? In other words, what do I lose if I'm lost? If I'm outside of Jesus Christ, what have I lost? I believe the first thing that we could say that we lose if we're outside of Christ spiritually is I lose my direction. We see that in the story of the lost sheep. I don't believe there's a sheep that intends to get lost. Do you think? A sheep just wanders off. It's natural for sheep to get lost. You know what? It's natural for human beings. We're the same way as sheep. We do the same thing. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've gotten lost. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord laid on Jesus the sins, the iniquity of us all." If you're following your plan for your life right now rather than God's plan, I'd say you're lost. What I've discovered in these years of ministry is that most people, they just sort of kind of drift through life. They don't have any purpose. They don't have any direction. They don't have a vision for their lives. They don't know where they're going. They're just drifting. The Bible says if you're lost, you've lost your direction. Secondly, if we're outside of Jesus Christ, we lose God's protection. Same story, shepherd and the sheep, okay? Sheep, I understand, are very vulnerable. They're pretty defenseless kind of animals. They don't have claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have fangs. They can't run like a cheetah or a gazelle. If you're a sheep, you're pretty vulnerable unless you have a shepherd. If you've got a shepherd who can beat off the other animals, you've got a great chance of surviving. You know that? Zechariah 10, verse 2 says this, "For all the household gods," okay, let's just change that. I don't have a household god, all right? But I do live in a society that's godless, all right? "For all the society utters nonsense." Have you found that to be true in a lot of cases? "And all the diviners tell lies. They see and tell false dreams, and they give empty consolation. Therefore, the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted for a lack of a shepherd." You know the most famous chapter in the Bible, Psalm 23. It goes like this. How does it open up? "The Lord is what? My shepherd." If you go to John chapter 10, you know what Jesus says? "I am the good shepherd." Okay? We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. But if you're not following the shepherd, I'm sorry, you're on your own. You're defenseless. You got a good chance of being eaten up. which, by the way, is why you worry. It's why you have fear. It's why you have anxiety, because you're trying to work everything out on your own. You know what? You weren't meant to do that. You know how vulnerable you are in this world, how close you are to not making it financially, how close you are not making it with your health. One phone call can turn your world upside down, can't it? When you're spiritually lost and you're not connected to your shepherd, you lose your direction. You lose your protection. God is not going to protect you if you go your own way. Friends, you're on your own. So if you're ignoring God, you're on your own. But when I place myself as a sheep under the shepherd's care, I get direction and I get protection. Third thing you lose if you're outside of Jesus Christ, I lose my potential. My potential to do good things in this world. Everybody in here, you want to do something good with your life, don't you? Maybe some of us want to do something great. I don't know. Guess what? God has a purpose for every one of us, a purpose to do good in this world. Now, another example here. I've got a quarter in my pocket, okay? This quarter. During its lifetime, how many hands do you think this quarter will pass through? Probably thousands and thousands, okay? In fact, Jane. Jesus, Jane. You've told me a lot of times, because you work in a bank, the most dirty thing that you could ever put in your hands is a piece of money, right? Because it goes through all kind of hands, all right? Matter of fact, they've done some studies, some tests, and sometimes you can find drug powder on coins that have been passed through drug sales and things like that. There's just stuff all over this, okay? But the coin has potential to do good. This quarter, if you had enough of them, you could feed a family with those coins. You could build a business. You could save a life. You could create beauty. You could buy an enjoyable experience. You could leave a legacy. There's a lot of good that you could do if you had enough of these coins. But I can't do anything if I lose that coin. It's gone. If it's lost, it can't do anything good, and it can't make an impact, because it's just lost. A lost coin isn't worthless, it's just wasted. You understand the difference there? It's still worth a quarter whether it's lost or not. It's 25 cents. It hasn't lost any of its value, but it's lost its potential. It's lost its potential to do any good, and it's lost its ability to make a difference. Listen to me. God made you to do good things, far greater than you could ever possibly imagine. Only God knows how fully, how capable you are. If you're disconnected from God, if you're spiritually lost, then you lose all that potential, and that's a wasted life. That's a wasted purpose in God's eyes. Now, this next verse I'm going to share with you, 1 Corinthians 2:9, we apply it to heaven, but I think it applies not only to heaven, but it can apply right now. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. God wants to do good through us that He might be glorified. He's talking about here and now as well. You can't imagine what God could do with your life if you totally give it to Him. Fourth thing we lose, I lose my happiness. We find in this story of the lost son, the prodigal son. The Bible says he went out and he wasted all of his inheritance, and then he lost all that God wanted to do in his life, and with that he lost his happiness. In Luke 15:14 we read, when this the young son had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country. He began to be in need. And eventually he did indeed lose it all. Why was he miserable? Well, he was broke. Yeah. He had a lousy job. Yeah. But nothing would destroy your happiness faster than a conflict in a relationship. Would you agree with that? He had a conflict with his dad. And when you're out of fellowship with God, it's real easy to be out of fellowship with other people. But when you are in harmony with God, He'll give you peace to be in harmony with other people. You can show them mercy like you've received mercy from God. You can't be in harmony with other people long term if you're not in harmony with God. You were not created to be in conflict with God. When God, your Creator, made you, He wired you to be at peace with Him. But when I thumb my nose at God and say, God, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to rebel just like this son did in that story Jesus told. I'm going to do whatever I want to do and live my way instead of living your way. That's going to create conflict between us and our Creator. And many times our body doesn't respond well with that, even physically. You're as close to God as you choose to be. And if you're far away from God, guess what? God didn't move. You did. You chose to move away from God. Fifth and final thing I lose if I'm lost. I lose my home in heaven. I'd say that's pretty big, wouldn't you? You were created in God's image and you were given the freedom to make choices. The problem is that's our greatest blessing and that's our greatest curse, because I don't know about you, but I make bad choices, you know? And we choose to love ourselves instead of loving God. We choose to go our own way instead of God's way. We choose to do our thing instead of God's thing. And God says, well, that's fine. You can do that. To me, God sometimes is like Burger King. He'll say, have it your way. But one day you're going to die. And you're going to stand before God and He's going to say, have it your own way, even in eternity. You clearly didn't want me in your life on earth. Why in the world would you want me in your life now in eternity? One of the things that we'll lose if we're lost is that we'll lose our home in heaven. Preparing for the next life is the most important thing you can do in this life, because I believe with all my heart, these years that God has given me on this earth, they're a practice run for what I'm going to be doing there, okay? Luke 9:25, Jesus said, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? I can lose all of these things, but the one thing all three stories point out is this. I don't lose my value. The sheep, the coin, the son, they were all of extreme value, weren't they? I may lose my direction, I may lose my protection, I may lose my potential, I may lose my happiness, I may lose my home in heaven, but I will not lose my value to God. That's why Jesus said, I've come to seek you, I've come to save you, because you're valuable, you're worth saving. And it's all because of, what am I preaching on? God's mercy. Now, let's wind this up. Three small points, all right? How does God's mercy then, if I'm so valuable to God and He wants to seek me and save me, how does God's mercy save me? What happens when I'm saved? How does God's mercy save me? Number one, this is a biggie. I don't know if you'll agree with it about you, but I'll agree with it about Howard Foster. Number one, it rescues me from myself. Does that make sense? Salvation will rescue me from me. You know what? I need to be saved from me more than I need to be saved from anything else. Yeah, I do. I don't know if you've realized this or not, but you are your own biggest problem. You are. I am. 1 Timothy 2:5, listen to this. Paul wrote, there's one God, there's one mediator between God and men, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, or you could write it this way, Jesus Christ, who came to rescue all of us. Rescue, ransom. I know some of you may be thinking, well, Pastor, I don't need to be rescued from anything. Life's pretty good. Okay? You don't have any pain in your life? You don't have any problems in your life? You don't have any pressure in your life. Your life is at total peace. You have no worries, no fears, no anxiety, no guilt. You have no regret, no resentment, no conflict. You don't need rescuing from anything except this. You're out of touch with reality. You need help from that because you have problems you can't solve. If you could have, you would have, but you can't, so you don't. And there are things in you you don't like about you, and you tried 1,000 times to change them, and you hadn't succeeded yet. You need to be rescued. And that's one facet of salvation. Jesus came to seek and to save, to rescue all of us. Some of the problems in your life, you say, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. Some of the problems will never be saved by trying. You know what's going to save them? You know what's going to solve them? It's not trying, it's trusting. You trust God to do what He can do that you can't do in ways that you don't have. Salvation rescues me from myself. You've got to trust and not try. Psalm 50:15, God says, call upon me in your day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you'll glorify me for it. Now, second out of three. You can find this in the lost coin. It recovers my potential. We spoke about potential, but I need to bring it up one more time, okay? When you are saved, you move from category B, which is lost, to category A, which is saved. All of a sudden, you got your potential back, and that God-given potential that was being wasted, like the coin I was speaking of, okay, that you lose, that quarter, that can't do any good while it's lost, now it can. Now, with that in mind, let me ask you this question. What have you lost that you would like to recover? Like the woman who lost the coin. Some of you will say, well, I've lost my strength. A few of you might say, I've lost my joy. Some others will say, I've lost my dream. A few others will say, I've lost my hope. A few would say, I've lost my innocence, or I've lost my reputation, I've lost my confidence. I could go on for an hour with these, okay? But Jesus Christ came not only to rescue us from ourselves, but to recover what we've lost. As human beings, we can't save ourselves. And half the time, we don't even know that we need to be saved. We don't need to be rescued. We don't even know that we need recovery. But everybody does. Everybody needs salvation. I can't save myself, but God can, because God can do anything. That's what John Newton meant when he wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, it saved a wretch like me. That's the mercy of God. In Joel 2:25, you're going to wonder why I'm giving you this verse, okay? Hold on. I think it's a great promise of the Bible. Joel 2:25. If you've lost something that needs to be recovered, God says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has made. Swarming locust? What in the world are you talking about? What's a locust? What do we call them here in America? Grasshoppers, right? Grasshoppers. Let me ask you something. What's eating your lunch? What's eating you up? I understand locusts, grasshoppers, they can destroy a field of corn in about 2 hours. And when a swarm of locusts comes in to start eating away at your life, start eating away at your confidence, start eating away at your finances, start eating away at your beauty, start eating away at your plans, your dreams, your hopes, who's going to restore those things? There's only one person who can, and that's God. That's part of salvation. God is saying, I'll give back what you lost in the years when the locust ate up all your crops. Now, let me take one more second to qualify this, okay? You may say, well, it's too late. I've lost that. It's never too late for God. You may be looking at your past and say, it's too late. It's too late in the game for me to make any difference. God will say, I will make the next years count more than all the ones previously. Just like the woman who found the lost coin, salvation helps me recover my potential. Now, lastly, What does God's mercy do? It will reconnect you to God. The Father and the prodigal son, I believe he's a symbol, he's a representation of God. Salvation will reconnect us to God. The Bible word for this is the word reconciliation. When a husband and wife end their conflict, that's called reconciliation. When two nations end their conflict, it's called reconciling, reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Therefore, if anyone is in Jesus Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Well, that's good news, isn't it? But then he goes on to say in verse 18, all this is from God. Nobody else can do this. And he did it through Jesus Christ, who reconciled us to himself. And then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, to show mercy, to share Jesus, invite somebody to church. That's the reconnecting part. That's the reconciling. That's the tearing down of the barrier between you and God. God sent Jesus Christ to make peace between us and Him. What did it take for Jesus to do that? Just coming to earth? Just dying on a cross? Just going through all that torture, all that pain? And all that shows us how much we matter to God. That's the kind of love God has for you. That's the kind of love God has for each and every one of us in here. That's the kind of love God has for us, that His wounds on the cross would pay to rescue us, to ransom us, to recover us, and to reconnect us to God. Now, I've told you that these three stories are all about how much you matter to God, how valuable you are to God. How do you determine something's value? Well, it's real simple. You know how you determine the value of something? What is somebody willing to pay for it? How much is your house worth? It's worth however much somebody's willing to pay for it, right? Nobody's willing to pay for something that's not worth much, are they? You might have a rare stamp. What's it worth? It's worth whatever somebody's willing to pay for it. And if nobody's willing to pay for it, then it's not worth any more than that. How much are you worth? Jesus says, you're worth dying for. You want to know your value? Look at the cross. You may be lost, but you're valuable. For Jesus says, you're worth that much. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for today, and I want to thank you for your mercy, and I want to thank you that even when we're lost, you consider us of utmost value. For Jesus, you came to seek and to save us. You came in the form of a human being. You died on a cross. You resurrected from the grave. You're at the right hand of God now, receiving all who will place their faith and trust in you. Thank you for what you give to us. You give us potential. You give us value. You give us, Lord, a connection, a relationship. You give us heaven, and I praise you for that. Now, Lord, bless this time that, Lord, it's decision-making time right now in this next couple of minutes. And the Holy Spirit, you've had me preach this sermon to somebody in here. Someone needs to connect to you today, God, and I pray they will. In Jesus' name, amen.